Yes, so the three trees. Now, this is a story that I've not heard about until recently, and Ali told me about it, and now I'm going to tell you. But I'm going to need some volunteers. So you've already had a chocolate bar. Anyway, I'll just start picking on people if nobody puts their hand up. Do you want to help me, Dan? You're on. Emily, you can come out and help. So that's one. Taffy, and Toby. Chocolate makes a big difference. Right, you're not going to get that yet. So, one, two, three trees, perfect. Let's move this out of the way. Now, you are the three trees. You take one of those and just sort of hold it up. Wonderful. Now, what we've got to do is arrange you in the right order. So the tallest one needs to go in the middle. And Emily, you can be tree number one. Toby, you're tree number two. Taffy, you're tree number three. So, there were three trees. And tree number one, Ivan, if we have the next one, was dreaming about being made into a treasure chest. Tree number one, she looked up at the stars, and she saw the glistening stars in the night sky, and she wanted to become a wonderful treasure chest that was full of sparkly treasure. Tree number two, if we have the next one, please, dreamed of becoming a mighty galleon, a big ship that sailed across the oceans. I didn't have a big ship, but I have got a sail. So if you can just hold that up nice and wide, Toby. Thank you. So tree number two wanted to sail across the oceans and carry kings and queens across the seas. Tree number three didn't want any of that. Tree number three wanted to stand high on top of the hill and point up towards heaven and point people towards heaven. Point. Thank you. So all three of these trees had these ambitions of what they wanted to become. Well, some time passed, and then some woodcutters came along. And first they came to tree number one, and tree number one, the woodcutter looked at the tree and thought, yep, this is perfect for what I need, and cut down tree number one. And if we can have the next one. He took tree number one to his workshop, and he made tree number one into a feeding trough for animals. There we are. If you put that down in front of you, Emily, it might fall to pieces. I was. Oops. Might have to help me. Got it. Thank you, Claire. A food trough for some animals. Not quite what tree number one had in mind. And then the woodcutter came and looked at tree number two and thought, oh yeah, this is perfect for what I need. So chopped down tree number two, and tree number two was taken to a boatyard, but not made into a big galleon, just made into a little fishing boat. Not really quite what tree number two had in mind. He'd never be able to go on the oceans. He would just be able to go out on small lakes and little rivers and that kind of thing. And then the woodcutter came down to chop down tree number three. And he thought, I don't really care what my tree's like. I just need a bit of wood. Chopped down tree number three and then chopped him up and took him and put him in his wood pile with a load of other wood that he had lying around. And tree number three was pretty upset because that wasn't what tree number three wanted at all. Tree number three wanted to be able to point people towards heaven, and it was just in a dark old wood pile. So then some more time passed, and eventually some interesting things began to happen. So if you have the next one, please, Ivan. Tree number one night, found some magical starlight shining in through the stable window where tree number one was. And there was a mother there and a father with a little baby, and they placed that baby in the food trough. And tree number one realized that she was carrying the most amazing treasure that the world had ever seen. And it was the baby Jesus. And then some more time passed, and a long time later on, a good few years later on, tree number two was out on the lake, and some men came along and got in. And it wasn't just the usual fishing crew, there was another man with them, and he got in the boat as well. And they went out onto the lake, and there was a terrible, terrible storm. And tree number two was very worried and thinking, I can't keep all these people safe in this awful storm. We're gonna be overcome by the waves. And the man, the stranger, that didn't usually go out on the boat, was asleep in the boat. But then something happened, something amazing. He woke up and he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." And the storm, just like that, stopped. Just quietened down, the lake flattened out, and everything was okay. And tree number two realized that he was carrying a king. He was carrying the king of heaven and earth. And then, one day, tree number three, sitting in that wood pile, somebody came and got the wood, and got two bits of wood and put them together to make a cross. And it was not very pretty to look at, a bit of a rough, nasty cross. And tree number two was taken, and a man was asked to told to carry this rough cross up to the top of a hill. And then that man was nailed onto that cross, and the cross was lifted up on the hill, and that man died. And tree number three felt ugly and horrible and wretched. This was not what tree number three wanted. And that was on Friday. And then on Sunday, something amazing happened. And the ground shook beneath tree number three, and the man who had died on that cross and been buried rose again. And that man was Jesus. And then tree number three realized that every time people looked at tree number three, every time they looked at that cross, they would think of heaven and they would remember what the Lord Jesus had done for them. So we'll think about that a little bit more later on, but thank you very much. Please help yourselves. Only one, though. Thanks, guys. The Word. Now, we are going to be doing a reading very soon from the Gospel of John, where it talks about the Word, and it talks about the Word becoming flesh. And that's going to help us answer that question of why Jesus came. Wonderful. Have you nearly finished?
We might be here a little while.
Okay. Right. So, we're going to read now from the Bible, and it's a passage from the Gospel of John, and chapter 1, starting at the first verse. And it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. Now, I think when the guys have finished, that's what it will say on our tree here, the Word became flesh. We're going to add some more decorations to the tree at the end of the service, and we'll probably begin doing that during the last song. I think the younger ones, Rufy's got an activity at the back if they want to go and join in with that. I'm not sure if these two are finished yet. And I'm just going to spend a little bit of time talking about that passage. So the Word became flesh. And I already said the Word is one of the names that we have for Jesus. And if you just go back to the previous one, please, Ivan. I think when you read the Gospels, you read the accounts about Jesus, there's two really good questions to ask that always help you to understand. And those questions are, number one, what does this tell me about who Jesus is? And number two, what does it tell me about what Jesus came to do? And as I said, when it's talking about the Word here, it's talking about Jesus. It's a Greek word that is logos, which is kind of translated as the reason or the plan. And that's the name that's given to Jesus, the logos, the reason, the plan. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So question number one, what does this tell me about who Jesus is? Well, it tells me that Jesus is God, that Jesus is not just God, but he's a separate person from God the Father. He's the Son of God, he was with God, and he was there in the beginning. And we read in that passage that through him all things were made. He was there at the creation of the world. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So Jesus is the Creator God. That's who he is. He's not just a little baby in a manger. He's the Creator God. And then the next one, thanks Ivan, the Word became flesh. So that tells us what Jesus did. He came to this earth in the form of a baby, and he grew up into a man. He became fully human. Even though he was God, even though he was Creator, he became fully human. He shared our human experience. And the question we asked at the beginning of this service was, why did Jesus come? Well, what did he do? What does it say? Can we have the next one, please, Ivan? He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. He came to the people that he had created, but they didn't want to know him. And we know what happened. We heard about it in that story of the three trees. They crucified him on a cross. And he died because of the sins of us, because of the sins of human beings, of you and me. He paid for our own sin. Can we have the next one? But then the passage says, to those who received him, to those who did believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is an incredible, fantastic, wonderful thing. Jesus, if we receive him, if we believe in his name, if we trust in him, gives us the right to become children of God. That is a tremendous privilege. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us. And that's why Christmas is such an incredible celebration, because we're celebrating God coming into the world, intervening on our behalf, and giving us the right to become God's children. And the next one, please, Ivan. It said as well, we've seen his glory, didn't it? And it goes on to say, we didn't read it, but if you look in verse 18 of John chapter 1, it says this: no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And it says earlier on, I think we did read, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So what did Jesus come to do? Well, he came to show us God. He came to help us see his glory. Now, I need somebody to open the last door for me, and everybody's gone. James, you better come and do it. I'm not going to give you another chocolate, though. So what is it?
It says love from God.
It says love from God, and it's a gift tag, right? A gift tag that says love from God. Go and pop it on the tree for me. Thank you. So love from God. And if we have the next one as well, please, Ivan. Why did Jesus come into the world? He's God's gift to us. And what did we learn from that passage about Jesus? If we just the next two. He came into the world so he could show us who God is. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And he came into the world so that we could be part of God's family. We could be God's children if we trust in him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us on the cross. And that is where I'm going to leave it this morning.